Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to all of you who are here and all of you who also will be watching online later on today or this week. It's really lovely to have you all here. We're a little bit low on children today. We've had a packed early birds this morning with I'll hear some more. Sky, Alfie, welcome. Had a packed early birds this morning. I think a lot of them have come to that and then are heading off to see family later on. But children, we're going to particularly need you, I think, this morning in the second song to help us, so we look forward to that. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Dave Bruce, I'm the rector here, and a particular welcome if this is your first time or one of your first few times here. We've had lots of people come and join us in September and October, so it's really good to have you with us, and do connect up with us at the end. We're going to be starting a new sermon series this week. There we go, which is entitled Spirit-Filled Worship. And we're going to be looking at some chapters from the letter to the first letter to the Corinthians, which is about the church in Corinth trying to work out how to worship God and how to be community together. And particularly at a time where we just continue to reflect on, you know, why do we gather after having 18 months of disruption? We thought it would be a really good chance to reflect on these chapters and to allow God to speak to us about our own gathered worship here. But that lovely thing about the Spirit-filled worship is that when we come and gather, you know, God's Spirit is here. And God loves and wants to minister to each one of us this morning in whatever situation we come to. Some of us will have had really difficult weeks. Some of us will have had really good weeks. Some of us will be weighed down with lots of things on our minds. Others will come with great joy. But however we're feeling, we're called to worship. And however we're feeling, you know, God wants to meet us in this place, particularly through the bread and the wine that we're going to be sharing later on. So as we begin, we're just going to invite just God's Spirit to come afresh and meet with us. Let's stand, shall we? And in the quiet, let's be still. And just acknowledge we're in God's presence. And we open our hearts to whatever God wants to do today, and to offer him our praise. And so be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Let us worship God together.
Let our praise be your welcome, Lord.
Open up and here is it, you are our one.
don't want to break the moment, but I wonder what you had for breakfast today. Did anybody have porridge? Oh, great. See some hands going up. A few years ago, and it's quite a few years ago, there was an advert, and you can see a snapshot from it, for Ready Breck. And it was about eating your porridge, and you would glow from the inside out. And that reminded me of the fact that when we're in Jesus' presence and spend time with him and share a meal with him, we too should glow and reflect and shine out Jesus' love. So our next song of worship is encouraging each other to shine for Jesus in our world. And Helen's going to help with some actions, but if any of the youngsters want to get involved with the rhythm, we don't have any drums today, so it would be helpful if you could pick up a rhythm instrument, shaker of some sort.
Go on, girls.
And this isn't a song just for children. This is one for all of us to encourage each other to shine for Jesus.
To do, don't you? It's the know me, love me, fill me, send me. It all gets a bit quick, doesn't it, at the end? So we're going to send you off to have a bit more practice of that so that you can come back another time and teach the adults. But that song is all about us going into where God sends us in the week. And that's what we were talking about at Early Birds this morning. We were talking about being used wherever God sends us in the week. We were looking at the story of Esther and talking about for such a time as this, God might use us. So I'm going to pray for the children as they go off to their groups. I'm going to pray for them, but I'm going to pray for all of us that actually wherever we're going to go this week, that God would fill us. That's what today is all about particularly. And then send us to shine for him. So let us pray, shall we? And maybe I'd love everyone to think about where you're going to be this week. Maybe in your workplace or in your neighbourhoods, or in your school, or in your leisure clubs, or in your families. And just think that God wants to use you in those places to shine for him. So, Lord, we thank you that your Spirit fills us so that we can go out and we can be your people in the world, shining your light into the dark places of this world. And we pray particularly for our children as they go into their schools this week, as they are amongst their friends, that they would shine for you, that us adults will shine for you too, wherever you may send us, and that you may teach us what it means in those different places to be your lights and to share your love and your good news with others. So be with our children, help them to have a special time this morning as they go. In the name of Jesus, amen. So children, do you want to take your helpers to their groups and have fun there? While we're doing that, why don't you just turn to the person next to you and perhaps, if you'd like to, if you hate this sort of thing, just say, I'm not in the mood. But introduce yourself and perhaps tell them where you're going to be this week so that they may pray for you, that actually you may shine in those places. Great, thank you. I would love to encourage you to continue those discussions over coffee later on. Or now. It's good to reflect on where we're going to be and how God may use us. So why don't you just think about who you've talked to this morning, continue your conversations over coffee, and maybe just pray for them when you think about them this week in where they are. We're going to just fill you in on a few things that are going to be happening coming up. And first of all, I've invited Diana Hunt. Paul's, her husband, is going to be speaking to us later. Diana and Paul are normally up at All Saints, but, you know, we're one church. And so it's lovely to share each other. So Diana's going to come and tell us with Helen a little bit about Christian Prayer Ministries that's coming up and what that's all about, which I mentioned last week in my sermon.
Oh, jolly good. Well, this is a little commercial for Christian Prayer Ministries. So what's that? Well, they've got a very good notice and there are leaflets at the back. It's a Zoom prayer ministry course for people with baggage of life. In other words, really and truly, all of us. And it's for those who think, oh, crumbs, this is really going on a long time. I'd like a bit of help and prayer with that. And you want to be prayed for, at least I always do, by somebody I'm not going to see again. So you'd be prayed for. I'll tell you what it is. It's 2 days, as you can see on the course. It's Wednesday the 3rd and the 10th of November. It's a Zoom course for an hour and a quarter with some teaching as to how you can be set free. There's a wonderful freedom out there that Jesus promises. And then there is a prayer ministry appointment with 2 trained people on the Saturday. Now, you can do it at which level. It's £15. You can do it at which level you like. You can come for the teaching, which is great. And anyone who's involved in prayer ministry, it's really good to come on that. Or you can then decide either beforehand or later, earlier. Yeah, I'd like some prayer ministry. And then you can book in for that. So, all I can tell you is that this has changed my life. So I thought I'd have a word with Helen, who's both received prayer ministry and is on the course. Now, can you be heard? I don't know about this. Yes. So, Helen, hi. How has prayer ministry helped you?
Well, I did the prayer ministry in 2013, and I found my actual feedback form. So this is what I wrote. Freedom, knowing for sure that a blockage has been removed. Feel a lightness in my spirit, a new confidence. I feel realigned. I have the armor in words and verses to use as required. And I remember doing that course, and I can't tell you now what the blockage was. I can't remember, but I just know from reading my notes it's gone. So it was very powerful. And I think back, you know, it was the beginning of transforming me to who I am today.
It's transformation by installments, isn't it? Yeah,
it is.
And I would say also it's changed me by installments. That's wonderful. So, Helen, why are you coming again?
Well, because I know it's a loving experience and it's really powerful. And after last year, I wasn't so well. And I just feel it's a bit of a layer between COVID and different things. And I feel maybe there's a bit of a blockage that's stopping me getting back to full health again. I'm fine, but I'm not who I was. And so I just feel what a wonderful opportunity to have a ministry to delve into it.
Yep.
So thank you.
Good. Yes. So leaflets at the back if you're interested. I shall be around after. Thank you, Helen. Thank
you. Several people in our church have been on that and found that really helpful. And do catch Diana or Helen afterwards or myself and chat more. But I really recommend that coming up. Just a few things also coming up here. Sunday the 31st of October, a couple of weeks today, we've got what we have every so often, which is we call it Seminar Sunday. So for those who are new here, what we do is instead of having a whole service here, we gather everybody together for about 20 minutes of worship and prayer, and then we offer different seminars throughout the church centre to go to. These are the seminars we're going to be offering in a couple of weeks' time. Where's God in all the suffering? Jasmine, who did a brilliant one last time, we did it 2 years ago, is going to do that one. Coming to God in the silence and stillness, Paul Hunt. And the team are going to do that, which is more about how we can reflect with God and meet God in the stillness and draw closer to God through that. I'm going to do one on who we are as churches, particularly for anyone who's new who wants to find out a little bit more. Helen's going to be running a light party for children and any parents who want to go along with the children there. That's going to be in the hall. And then Barry and Anya, one of our young people, are going to do a seminar on God and his created environment, looking at some of the sort of contemporary issues of recycling and climate change and all sorts of stuff there with that. So I encourage you to get that in your diaries and do come along, but it will be a bit different that Sunday. And then that Sunday evening too, we've got a baptism service here at 6 o'clock. Lucy Horwood is being baptised in the evening. John Booth is also being baptised in the afternoon in a smaller sort of invitation-only ceremony, which works well for John. So we really invite you to come and connect up and pray for that Sunday. And the waiting room, we've been particularly in a season where we're encouraging people just to have some more silence in October, following on from the ruthless elimination of hurry we did a year ago. And the waiting room, which Paul and others run up at All Saints once a month on a Wednesday for an hour, is a great place to just go and sit in the silence and meet with God with no agenda and just allow and enjoy special time with God. And if you've never tried it before, I really encourage you in this month of silence in October to go up and just find some stillness and find God in that deep place up there this Wednesday. We've also got some more events to just help us connect up in this season too. They're on the church mailing. Particularly want to say on Sunday, November the 14th, we're going to just invite people to offer to host people for lunch and invite people to say, I want to be a guest at lunch, and actually to meet up over lunch in our homes when we can't yet probably have our normal shared lunches. And it's just a great chance to get to know people a bit better. Val's going to be on the welcome desk and will be taking down names of those people who might like to host some people and others who might like to sign up to be guests. Do particularly do that today, and that would be great to begin to get people matched up for that. So they're just some of the things coming up in the next few weeks. Claire's going to come and lead us in prayer now.
Before we pray, I invite you to take a moment to remember the things that are on your heart today. Things in your own life, in your work or whatever it is you do in the week, in the community where you live, in this country and in God's world. So just think about that for a moment. And we'll have a response in the prayers. When I say, God who inhabits bread and wine, I invite you to respond, be known in these places. God who inhabits bread and wine, be known in these places. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your world. We pray for places and people affected by climate change. In the silence, think about people and places that need to know God today. We also pray for the people of Iran and Oman rebuilding after the cyclone. We pray for the negotiations in advance of COP in Glasgow. Lord, we ask you to soften the hearts of nations, leaders, and negotiators so that progress can be made to make a difference to protect your world and people living in areas at risk from global warming. God who inhabits bread and wine, be known in these places. Lord, we pray for this country. We thank you for people who are committed to public service in Parliament, county and local councils. In the silence, think about people and places that need to know God's presence today. Lord, we especially thank you for the life of Sir David Amos, and we pray for his family, his friends, and the minister and congregation of Belfair's Methodist Church in Leigh-on-Sea. And we pray, Lord, today for people in the public eye who've been triggered by the events of Friday afternoon. God who inhabits bread and wine, be known in these places. Lord, we pray for our town and the places that we live. Thank you for the great work done by volunteers, community groups, and the churches across Malvern to serve others. Today we pray especially for our GPs, for the police, the fire and ambulance crews, local businesses, and all those who serve this place in different ways. In the silence, think about the people that you know in these places that need our prayers today. God who inhabits bread and wine, be known in these places. And Lord, we pray for this church here and for All Saints, giving thanks for every single act of service, whether seen or unseen, which is offered to others in your name. In the silence, think about people in this church family who need our prayers today. God who inhabits bread and wine, be known in these places. And we pray for ourselves. Let's take a moment to remember one thing that's happened this week that you'd like to thank God for. And in the silence, remember a part of your life where you need to sense the presence of God today. God who inhabits bread and wine, be known in these places. Lord, in communion, we will invite you to come once again and take your rightful place in our lives. As we hold that in our minds, let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his followers. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 17. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. But, of course, there must be divisions among you, so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper, for some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, You are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home, so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. This is the word of the Lord.
Few minutes' time, you'll be, each of us, if we feel it's right to take it, which I hope we all do, but it's up to each of us really, taking a wafer in our hand, a small wafer, and it has the cross on it. And this is dipped into the wine and given into our empty hands. Our hands are empty because they need to be to receive all the benefits of Christ's sacrifice for us. But when you hold it in your hand, what does it actually mean to you? And there's no right or wrong. If it doesn't mean a lot, praise God, because Jesus never said, take and understand. He said, take and eat. This is almost beyond understanding. But you'll also have thoughts, feelings, experiences of what this means. Just pause a moment in thanksgiving that we're free enough to come to this church this morning to receive the word, this wonderful worship we're having, receive the God who inhabitest bread and wine in all the places where we've been taken in that prayer, and as we go out into the week, just pause a moment with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I was on the phone this last week to an 89-year-old lady, and I said, if you have that wafer in your hand, as I'll be sharing this at St. Andrew's this week, what comes to you? She said some beautiful things. This is after a lifetime of knowing God. She says, it connects me to God. It's integrated into my body. You can see, you can touch. This is my blood. This is reality. And three times she says, this is reality. God making himself available. The real Christ. Heaven on earth. If you become open to it. What a sermon that is. Bless her. And what a wonderful way of seeing that tiny wafer that we shall be having in our hands so soon. But I wonder how those sitting in that house church in Corinth, AD 50-51, were thinking, or maybe slightly after that, no one's quite sure, a letter from Paul has arrived on a scroll, so it's got to be read out, read aloud, like beautifully Rosemary's read it out, that bit to us this morning. You see, he'd been with them for 18 months. He'd lived among them. He'd become a tent maker with them, with great friends of his, Priscilla, Aquila. And he was the God in bread and wine inhabited his tent making in his work, as indeed with all of us. He knew what it was to work with his hands as well as to be preaching the gospel in other ways. And here's a letter from Paul. I wonder how they feel, because actually he knows quite a lot about them. He's had 18 months. He's gone away. A couple of years later, now he's writing this letter. Do you feel enthusiastic? Do you feel, oh no, I can't face it. He's so hard. Quick, get away. Or just, wow, isn't it wonderful to have a word of God coming from St. Paul? You see, the church is in a mess in Corinth. There were different factions. You read it in the very first chapter. There's a household of Chloe. Maybe they were meeting in Chloe's house. And she told Paul about what was going on. And he's absolutely flabbergasted, really, that all these leadership, there were four factions in the church. The sexuality, it was all mixed up, disorderly worship. Some believed the resurrection hadn't happened. And now in Holy Communion, everybody in their own bubble. This morning, we've been taken out of the bubble. Dave got us with each other. That got me out of myself talking with Christina. The prayers have taken us out of our bubble, but we get into our own bubbles. I know I do. And to move out and just even in this service, just be praying for somebody perhaps next to you, in front of you. Just say, Lord, bless this person. Bless her, bless him, bless me in listening to your word. But there was huge fragmentation and huge mess in all this, a messy church. I once heard Eugene Peterson speaking not far from here a few years back. He's the author of The Message. You know The Message, amazing translation of the scriptures. And he'd been pastor of this church in the States for something like 20 years. One Saturday evening, everything ready for the worship communion. And he said, I went into my church and I said, Lord, we are a mess. We are a mess, and I'm a mess, and I don't know how I'm going to manage tomorrow. And he said, I waited, and the Lord said to me, Eugene, I love messes because I can do something about it. And he said, you know, it overwhelmed him, and he went back to bed, and the next morning the worship flowed, and God at work in the mess, God at work in the fragmented mess that they were in. So much is fragmented, isn't it? So much, not just in the church, but in society around, so much in our own lives. I love, do you know, there's a wonderful Christmas gift to give to somebody, if you don't know it, Charlie Mackesy, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. It's a wonderful gift. You could give, or give it to yourself if you feel you can. It's lovely. So here's the boy and the mole. I've learnt how to be in the present. How, asked the boy. I find a quiet spot and shut my eyes and breathe. That's good. And then I focus. What do you focus on? Cake, said the mole. That wonderful. It's so down to earth. But then it goes on. This is the part I just wanted to particularly read. Isn't it odd? We can only see our outsides, but nearly everything happens on the inside. Isn't it odd? We can only see our outsides, but nearly everything happens on the inside. And I think if you were saying to those people in Corinth, It's not just the church, is it? You're involved in an environment around, environment where there's law courts, there's temples, there's markets, there's brothels, there's dance parties, there's amphitheatres, there's weddings, there's funerals. What a world in Corinth, probably the most busy city and port in Greece at that time. Half the people were slaves, half were free. I mean, what a divided society in Corinth. So much fragmented as these people try to live their life in that kind of society. So much going on in themselves. As Tom Wright, the great New Testament scholar, he says, this world of Corinth was full of challenges and questions. What a world in Corinth, 50 AD, what a world here in our own culture, here in the 21st century. A world full of challenges and questions. Someone said to me last week, bringing up a younger generation in their home, said, it's coming to learning to live with a culture shift. A culture shift. I thought that was a word many of you will know, but I was a bit new to it because our kids have all got a bit older. But many of you are living with a culture shift, with your kids, with your youngsters, with your trying to relate to, you know, to almost a totally different generation. So many challenges. So many questions. And it's as if, there's wonderful words of Eliot in his four quartets, he sums up the 20th century when he lived, that's when he lived, and he says, we are distracted by distraction from distraction. All the things, even as you sit in church at Corinth or in St. Andrew's Church, all the things that distract us. And the difficult thing is, how do we relate to this culture shift? There's no God language. Mikey and Bethany came to us at All Saints a couple of weeks ago. They are mission partners in Liberia. They said, in Liberia, this is West Africa, you can talk to anybody about God. And it's wonderful. He says, we come back to the UK, they're living in Wales, there's no God language. There's no God language. There's a huge culture shift in our society. I used to say to people, you know, a bit time back, really, I just say, you know, God bless you, God bless you. You know, I've let the word God go now. I say bless you, because I know the word God will actually, may not help matters along. But it's sad, isn't it? It's sad that this God language has gone from us. And so this morning we come back to this broken bread in this worship. Broken bread. I often listen to Thoughts for the Day, 10 to 8 in the mornings. And the other day, Giles Fraser, he's very, you know, he's very full on. He's a parish priest, actually, but doesn't mind, you know, being very challenging to everybody, including the church, and we need it. And he said, after a service the other day in South Newington, where he's the vicar, he said, a couple came, they were Iranians, and they were seeking asylum, and they came to him and said, Aunt Vicar, we want two things. And he thought, oh, horrors, they're going to ask for housing, and they're going to ask for money. He said, well, what do you want? They said, we want a Bible in Farsi. This is the Bible I've got in Farsi. And we want the Holy Communion. Jesus known in the breaking of the word, the sacrament of the word, the sacrament of communion. The sacrament is just word that says it's heaven and earth meeting, as in the word of God, as in the Holy Communion. And the way St. Paul says here is very powerful. When I just stop to think of these words, he's saying to this fragmented, messy church, I received from the Lord what I'm going to tell you. So if anybody's having a little sleep while this scroll is being read, they'd wake up. This is direct revelation. I received from the Lord. You know, sometimes you feel, gosh, that wasn't my thought. That was God, it was you telling me, guiding me, nudging me. The Spirit nudging. Paul says this is a huge nudge. I'm sharing with you what I've received from the Eternal One, from the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven and earth. This is what that Lord of heaven and earth has revealed to me. It's direct revelation. Wake up. Wake up. But the other thing is, it's divine, but it's so human, because he says, I'm handing on a tradition. Now, tradition and traditional are different. Traditional, I think, is out. It's just having the past for the past. But when you have a sacred tradition, you pass it on. You pass it on. Same word used in 1 Corinthians 15, where he's talking about Jesus who died, who rose again, who's appeared to so many. He says, I'm passing on a tradition. You don't alter a tradition. You don't add to it. It's there to be held and to be passed on from you to your kids. See, these kids here today are so wonderful. Pass it on. It's sacred tradition. So with this sacred tradition, with this word coming from heaven itself, Paul then says, on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. Notice he says the Lord Jesus. The Lord is the Lord of heaven and earth, who's just revealed this to him. But it's Jesus of Nazareth, 30 years in a carpenter shop. Paul, 18 months a tent maker in Corinth. Jesus inhabiting the places in bread and wine that we shall be in this week in all kinds of different situations. I love the words of a Welsh poet, and we have some Welsh blood among us today. He says this, understand that there at the table I touched the broken body of holy Jesus. Suddenly my heart melted like wax before the fire. The broken body of holy Jesus. My heart melted like wax before the fire. And here's the broken bread, the bread that he breaks on the night that he was betrayed. This is the great betrayal. Dave's done some wonderful PowerPoint for us. This is the great betrayal. He breaks bread and he knows it's the night. And St. Paul says it's the night of betrayal. St. John says when Judas went out after receiving the bread, and I love the way Chris in that week reminded us in an email that Judas received the bread before he went out. So what does that mean? Who should not receive the bread? Makes me feel. But here's the broken bread on the night that he's betrayed, the greatest betrayal. What a betrayal of Sir David Amis, you know, in his own constituency down in Lee, Essex, in the very place where he's there to minister to people like Jesus, in that very place he's stabbed to death. And you and I, you'll know betrayals in your life. Just think of times when someone's let you down. It's another word to use. Is someone's let you down, maybe at work. My daughter rang the other day, and she works where she works. She says, one of my colleagues, she's just not doing, she's not pulling her weight, you know. And you'll have colleagues who you sometimes feel, gosh, you're not pulling your weight. You can sometimes feel this. I think sometimes for oneself, actually, I betray my better nature when I'm not doing what I feel I should be doing, or letting go what I'm holding on to. This is very often what it is. It's a betrayal of one's own inner being. I think it sometimes happens very much in friendship, doesn't it? For 5 years, I had a very good, well, we had a very good relationship with a man, with his family. They invited us. We were in Iran, down in Isfahan. They invited us. To eat, we'd sit in their home, we'd be sitting on the floor, eating chelo kebab, you know, the breaking bread, and with a very moderate Muslim, so hospitable, so hospitable. And yet after 5 years, and we had to move to another part of Iran, and I remember seeing my friend on the other side of the road, and I suddenly saw him talking with someone we knew was a hard-line informer. And suddenly, betrayal, the friendship evaporated. And sometimes it's been our fault and we've betrayed in a relationship and it's just broken up. We will all know this. We know it nationally, don't we? I've been thinking of France at the moment, internationally, feeling betrayed. You know, they had that agreement with Australia on nuclear submarines, all almost, you know, tied together and finalised. And suddenly, US, Australia, UK, we come together and France feels betrayed. We betrayed them. You know, I don't think you can get away from the feeling that they have of that. It just happens in so many ways that we are letting people down or being let down. And this is life. And the marvellous thing here is that on the night of that great betrayal of all, when it was dark, when it was night, on the night he was betrayed, Judas went out and it was night, says John. At that moment, Jesus takes a loaf of bread and he breaks it. Very telling story, which I heard, again, it was an Iranian speaking a little time back, and he'd just come back out of Iran. It could have been China, it could have been North Korea, it could have been many other places in the world where the believers come together and they have to be very careful what they do, what they say. And this little group, he said, we knew there was an informer who would go back to the secret police. And therefore, we had to have a worship that wouldn't, in the wrong way, give information. So we didn't sing, we didn't read the Bible, but we had some bread and we had a cup for juice. And without any words, we passed this round. That was the breaking of the bread. Breaking through. No words, no singing, the broken bread for each one of those precious people. The broken bread. Just pause a moment, if you will. Be aware of the darkness of betrayal in your life. You've let someone else down, or I have. Or someone else has done it to you, and it's bitter in you. It's really bitter. And you say, Lord, today you break bread for that person, for that group, for the church, which sometimes we betray each other, and we're so hard sometimes. Lord, you break bread this morning. Break us open. Release your love and your forgiveness. Then we'll just pass on to two more things and then we'll close. It's the next word which Dave's got up there, remembering. Remembering. When we had the prayer just now, and Claire was inviting us to think back to one thing this week, I thought back to coffee we had with a couple a day or two ago. And as I thought back to it, it was as if I was there, remembering. And this is what remembering does. It takes something that's happened and it comes into the present moment. The past and the present meet. You think of just something as perhaps you did in that prayer time, something that brought together the past and the present. And Jesus is saying here, remember, what happened then is as real then as it is now, as real now as it was then. Bringing the past into the present so that Jesus is here. He's the host today, isn't he? He's giving us. We at the front, we're just here to minister that, but to minister all that Christ as the host will give to us. Do this in remembrance of me. Do it so that all the benefits of Christ's sacrifice are with me at this moment as I take this wafer dipped into the wine, the body and the blood of Christ. But it's something just a little bit more than that, because the word remember, can you see how it's been done here? There's a hyphen between remembering. To remember, the opposite is dismember. The opposite is everything pulling apart, fragmented, everything a mess in one's life. Remembering is bringing together those parts. Remember, making whole. The word healing is from an old English word meaning hylen, which means making whole. To remember is to make whole. You take this bread and this wine, and it's all that Christ has done for you with the cross on our little wafer. It's all that Christ has done, entering into the body, your body, into your blood, into every part of you, to draw together all the fragmented, broken bits. We had a quiet morning here. It must be about 3 years ago, and Dave very kindly asked me to lead it, and we broke bread, and afterwards someone came up, and she said, you know, I came into this church with such a... My whole body was in pain, racked with pain. The bread and the wine, I took it, and she stood in front of me and said, it's gone. I met her in the street the other day. I said, do you remember that? She said, I can't forget it. She may be here this morning. She said, that was amazing. It was the broken body of Jesus, the shed blood. Somehow, it wasn't anything I said or anybody else said. It was like that little Iranian cell group, taking the bread, taking the wine, taking the juice, and the healing coming. Lord, come to us again this morning as we move on in our service. Come to us with this healing. Heal broken bits of us. The dismembered parts, the fragmented parts of myself, of your church, of the society around us. Heal, make whole. And then we just come to our last word, which is with giving thanks, these beautiful pictures for us, the hands, it's just the giving thanks. Jesus, when he broke the bread, he gave thanks. When he took the wine, he gave thanks. The word means actually Eucharist. I love the word Eucharist because it just means thanksgiving in the original. It's the giving thanks. 1 Corinthians 10, St. Paul says, the bread which we break, is it not a sharing? The bread which we bless, we give thanks for, is it not a sharing of the body of Christ? The wine which we have, the cup is the cup of blessing, of thanksgiving. It's saying to the Lord, Lord, you've given so much, and I just want to offer myself back to you, with all the things that I'm just so grateful for. I heard about a few weeks ago, we've been very much, many of us, praying for dear Eloise in the Lebanon. And she came back and she shared with us about it. And there was a service from Beirut just about 3 or 4 weeks ago in the morning, and Sunday morning. And they've had a terrible explosion. Adam and Ruth will know all this, and some of others of you. Off explosion, the port exploded, and there were a lot of terrible deaths. And the whole, that part of Beirut was in ruins, and they're still struggling with it. And Rima, who was the speaker, the Lebanese speaker, she said she went to the church to help to clear up the rubble. And she said the music that came from those people as they cleared up this rubble, and it was in Arabic, but I know it in English. Count your blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. So wherever you are this morning, however difficult it is for you to give thanks, remember the church in the Lebanon. Remember churches where they've not got all the freedom that we have. Lord, thank you. George Herbert, the wonderful English poet, he said, "You've given me so much, Lord. Give me one thing more. Give me a thankful heart." So let's just pause a moment and remembering that Paul said, "Do this until he comes. Go on breaking bread. Go on with the cup of blessing. Go on, never give up. Then when he comes, we won't need it. We'll see him face to face. No communion in heaven, no baptism, none of these things. No marriage, nothing. We're with the Lord face to face until he comes." So Lord, bless us now in bread and in wine. You inhabit the bread and wine, this bread and wine. You inhabit it, this juice we have for those who need it. Whatever, Lord, you inhabit it and are found in all the places that we go out into this week. And just the last words we've got, Dave, I think, on here. Feed on him in your heart by faith with go on feeding into the week, at your kitchen sink, at work, walking, supermarkets. Feed on him in your heart, the centre of your being, by faith. Trust, 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 with thanksgiving, with open hands. Amen. Thank you. moving on into the latter part of our service, into the communion. And a good word of confession maybe as you receive the bread and wine or receive the blessing, if that's how you want it, is just to say, Lord, have mercy on your messy church, fragmented lives, my fragmented lives. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. And we're using a slightly different communion. It's from the island of Iona, north off the northwest coast of Scotland, a little island. And it's gone worldwide. It's just such a... It's the right communion, and I was just sharing with Dave, these words seem to be the right ones for today, when Christ comes as our brother on the road of suffering and of life, alongside our messiness and fragmented lives. So we'll all read together the white, and then I'll read together what's in yellow. The wine at the table of bread and of wine is now to be made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all those who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth, in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more, but maybe sometimes I just feel I haven't got any, but I still come. You who've been to this sacrament often, you who have not been for a long time, you who've tried to follow Jesus, you who have failed, trails of our lives. Come. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us in the road of our world suffering, who is known to us in the breaking of bread. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body broken for you." In the same night, he took the cup. He took the wine. Having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall not drink wine with you next until the coming of the kingdom of God." And together, loving God, it is through your goodness that we have this bread and wine to offer, which earth has given, human hands have made, in the sharing of this bread. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Together, look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine, the gifts of God for the people of God. Come. Thank you.
Thank you for your understanding today. You know, we're still working out how to do communion when we're all back together again. But, you know, God works in the mess too, doesn't he? So, a final prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Now send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen. Do join us for coffee after the service outside, hopefully. If not, if it's still raining, we'll meet in the hall, but I think there's coffee outside, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Sing, sing.